never rests.
Beauty colors in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive.
What is up, everybody? It's the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Bro. He's Rusty Mansell. We are from Dogs HQ. It's what a regular season loss feels like, Rusty. We're going to get to that because that is new. That is new to be experiencing a loss in September. It's been a while. So we're going to get to that, and then we're going to get into kind of second thoughts on Georgia at Alabama. Someone that still stings, but one don't feel a whole lot different than I felt last night, Rusty, as far as like kind of the way you look at the rest of the season. Going to hear from a couple partners, and Rusty, Georgia's going to finally get a chance to recruit. It's been 3 weeks. God. Three weeks since Georgia's had a chance to recruit. They're about to get a chance to recruit, and that puts the ball right in. Rusty's got a lot of wheelhouses, but recruiting is the one. So that's Rusty's high fastball. But, Rusty, this is what a regular season loss feels like. It's been a while, man, and you can tell folks just ain't used to it. They're not used to it.
It was so many different things about this game, Jake. You wake up this morning and you and I working together as long as we have, every time this happens, and it's happened quite a bit, Georgia losing to Alabama. You wake up the next morning and Alabama's got confetti somewhere. Alabama's got confetti on the field that we leave. You know, there's always the picture of, you know, kind of never forget the picture of Sony Michel and Nick Chubb sitting there with Alabama color confetti on them and national championship, the SEC championships. You get a chance to see Georgia have it in Indianapolis when they win and confetti falls down. Last year, you and I sat beside each other at the SEC championship game when we watched confetti come down on Alabama to winning the SEC championship. And last night, Georgia lost again in a heartbreaking game. No confetti. And Kirby Smart basically hugged every player coming off the field. And there's a lot of different ways to process this game. But I think, you know, people have to kind of understand, too, this is a different day and age, man. And, you know, there's no confetti last night. Had Georgia beat Alabama, there's no confetti. And Alabama beat Georgia, there was no confetti. So that tells you, Jake, there's a lot left to play for. And I know people really don't want to hear that right now. But that's reality. And I tell you right now, had Georgia won that game, I would be saying the same thing. Be cautious with this because there's a lot of football left for Georgia, and this doesn't guarantee them anything. Now, it would have been a lot better situation had they beat Alabama, and obviously that's a big deal. But it was always on this side, both sides of this, what's kind of the ramifications of a win and loss, and just a lot of football left, man, and we're going to see how this team reacts.
So let me tell you why it's a good thing that Georgia didn't win that game yesterday.
Please do.
I'm not. I can't do it. I'm just messing with you. I'm glad you had a quick response there and didn't let it get awkward. No.
Please tell me. But
No, there's not. There's not a good – it's not better that Georgia lost that game. I'm not trying to say it is. But
nope.
I tell you what, man. I know I took the time today to really think about kind of how odd this situation feels for Georgia fans. You know, like how bad of a feeling it is to have a loss in September and how long it's been since Georgia fans haven't had a loss in September, you know, since they've had to deal with that. And it's just been a long time, man. It really has. And I think that obviously there's some trends with this team that you don't like. You don't like the slow starting on offense. You don't like that Alabama was able to kind of have its way with Georgia to start that game. You don't like how the team looked unprepared kind of 2 weeks in a row, you know, looked unprepared coming off a bye week like that. Like there's a lot of things that you know, are worrisome about that game. But I tell you what, man, there's just a lot of things that I was watching it again today, Rusty, and I just thought to myself, I was like, how many teams do you think do that? Because every year, right, remember that 2021 season, what did everybody say all year long? Hey, man, that Georgia defense is incredible, but if they ever have to play from behind, you wonder if they can get it done.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't got to worry about that with this football team because they climbed back in it from 28 points down.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, they outscored Kentucky, they outscored Alabama 34-6 at one point. Is that right?
34-5.
34-5 at one point in that game. And if I told you Georgia's going to outscore Alabama 34-5 at one point in the game, you'd have bet everything you had, every 401k, every mortgage, your neighbor's house, whatever you could get your hands on, you would have taken Georgia, the 34-5 spread in that game. Especially if I told you in the second half, if you take the second quarter to the fourth quarter, Georgia's going to go 34-5, you'd have thought they're about to break one off in Alabama. But, it's still weird, Jake. I'll say this, man. And I don't know how many people here are a member of Dogs HQ. I hope everybody is, and we thank you for being here. But I thought you summed it up pretty well today. You had a reply on a post, and you said almost every position on this team had really good moments, and then they had some really bad moments. You mean position groups. And I thought that kind of summed it up, man. There were some times where you look and you go, gosh, dang, man, the linebackers made a play there. And then I went back and watched, Jake. I got real nerdy today, man. Don't tell anybody, but I just watched the linebackers for about three series just to see where their eyes were, see some of the things that maybe, especially early, because they were getting blocked. You know what I mean? That first touchdown run by Milroe, they have a short split on a wide receiver that tips you off. It's either going to be something outside or that person's going to block. And they just kind of came down with ease and picked a backer, and Milroe just walked in. And that's just, to me, something that you're just not used to seeing from Georgia, getting outflanked and not looking for, not Jake, not fighting through a block. I mean, they didn't see it coming. And on a short split, you're looking for, they're either going to block down or they're going outside. You know what I mean? And once you see that guy coming, you just picked your backer. So little things like that, I kind of watch to see where you are. But, it's just one of those things, man, where there were some bright spots. And then you look at the hit by C.J. Allen to stop that third down to get the ball back. And that was a straight effort play, man, on that third down, just for them to get the ball back to have a chance to win that football game. So there was some good and some bad.
Yeah, there was. Hey, listen, I keep seeing this. I don't know where Georgia lacks firepower. I saw the same game everybody else did, I'm pretty sure, where Georgia produced, I think, probably 6-7 plays over 30 yards in that game, or 5 or 6 plays over 30 yards. Hey, and I also want to respond to this comment and say, last year in the college football playoff, there were 0 5-star wideouts in the college football playoff, in the 4-man playoff last year. I don't believe there was maybe one the year before that. So, but listen, I mean, I get it. Everybody's got the critique today. Georgia needs to recruit better D linemen. I thought Georgia's D linemen held up great when Alabama tried to get downhill against them. I thought they held up phenomenally well.
Especially interior guys.
Tackled the edges. I was really surprised at that. And I thought they held up really well. They didn't make some plays in the pass rush when they had a chance. I mean, that Christian Miller thing. Rusty, sometimes when you look at these road games, mm-hmm. You and I don't know if you remember the 2012 game with South Carolina. Georgia gets blown out in Columbia.
Yeah.
Bakari Rambo has a ball in his hands going up with I believe it was Demarius Byrd or somebody like that. Demetrius Byrd. Ashland
Jeffrey or something.
Yeah. So I don't think it was Jeffrey. I think Jeffrey was like 2010. He was done. He was already gone by then. But it was one of those receivers anyway. And he got the ball taken away from him. Mm-hmm. That pick was probably in a snake pit that night, one of Georgia's 2 or 3 opportunities to stay in that ball game.
Yeah.
And one of Georgia's opportunities to stay in that ball game kind of early is to make a play, like the one we were talking about. So it's just, I get it. I get everybody wants to kind of, you want a Ryan Williams, and Ryan Williams was awesome last night. Arian Smith was awesome last night, and Dylan Bell was awesome last night. And Georgia made a lot of big plays in the passing game. I don't think that they're lacking playmakers in the pass game. It's, you got to start faster. You got to play more consistent football. You got to not turn it over 4 times.
Mm-hmm. I had somebody text me today and said, why didn't we recruit Ryan Williams? And I said, let me tell you something. Kirby Smart and everybody on that staff went after Ryan Williams as hard as Georgia could. They were never going to get Ryan Williams, but they got him in. He was over at Georgia several times.
Yeah.
And there was some talk out of the Georgia circle there, especially early, with the connections they have with Tavarius Robinson, some of those guys over there. Georgia might have been the first school to know that he was going to reclass. And because I got some word out of the building, like, hey, this kid's going to reclass. And you know, Georgia was kind of in that thing. They never were a serious threat. Don't let me say, but let me tell you something. Georgia recruited a kid from Alabama hard. And, you know, we saw him in Under Armour. We saw him in Under Armour camp in Carrollton in February. And I'm telling you right now, there's a guarantee I got tweet somewhere. It was the smoothest I've ever seen a kid at a camp just run by DBs. I mean, I looked at Charles Power. And I was like, this kid's insane. You know what I mean? How quick he is. I didn't know how good his feet were like that, but talking about explosive in a camp setting, he caught every ball and he just ran right past DB. So to answer that question, Georgia did recruit Ryan Williams. They never were going to get him. It was either Alabama or Auburn for sure with that deal. So I'll say this too. You look at that play in with Humphrey, you know, you hear Kirby say, look, you know, maybe we should have pressed him a little bit. Well, in that play, you were pressed on him. You were man to man. And sometimes you're going to get beat on islands. I don't care who it is. You're going to give up a player or two. But I agree with Kirby. You got to get him to the ground. That's the biggest thing to me was the missed tackles. Somebody sent me a tweet, and I don't know exactly what it was. It was Trent Smallwood of Rivals. And I don't know if this data is right, but it was interesting to me. He said that Georgia's missed 40 more tackles this year than they missed entire last year. And that's something that I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know, you know, the exact numbers. But I will say that last night, Georgia not being able to tackle some plays is something that you're starting to see a little more trend of. And that's not a staple of a Kirby Smart, Glenn Schumann type team. I don't know what they're going to – I'm assuming they're going to do more tackling drills. But it's just one of those things, Jake. It's kind of hard to explain how you see some of that.
I agree. And it's – the fight was incredible. And mm-hmm. and the way kind of they were able to kind of, you know – the way they were kind of able to bring it back together, I think,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, man.
About this team. And yep. there's just a lot there. But I mean, listen, we can dissect this thing from a million different angles, and we can talk about all the playmakers Alabama's got. And you know, Milroe was awesome, and Ryan Williams was awesome.
Yeah, tip your cap, man.
I'm not trying to say anything different. I'm just trying to say that I think Georgia's got what it takes, and I don't know that. I'm not even a little bit more confident in that now than I was, because I kind of had those doubts. I guess the reason I brought that ESPN thing out, and not the ESPN, but the talking heads and what everybody was saying about Georgia in 2021, is I was starting to have some of those same concerns myself. Like, I think Georgia's got guys who can separate, but do they have guys who can just generate big explosive plays, break tackles? And I keep going back to the fact that Alabama was in a defense knowing that Georgia was trying to attack downfield. Like, they knew Georgia had to bite off chunk plays, and Georgia was able to kind of force the issue and make it happen. I don't know that it's not – I think it's good that you've shown that you've got the athletes that great, but I think you've also shown yourself that kind of that. I look back at it and I look at, man, what would that kind of offense, what would that kind of aggression look like with good balance? It was with some balance in the run game and some balance in getting the playmakers to your ball to your playmakers at running back. I don't know, Rusty. I think that there's a lot to build on here for Georgia, and if they don't, they're missing a golden opportunity. And I know people want to see us get after coaching. It all goes back to coaching. Mm-hmm. They're the guys that's going to get turned loose if it gets bad enough that it's time to get turned loose. Going to go back to coaching.
I mean, let's don't sugarcoat. This is the greatest run in the history of Georgia. This is the greatest run in the history of Georgia football. Not even close. Nothing's ever compared to the last, 5 years for Georgia.
It would be the best run in the history of about 98% of
programs. Yeah. I understand. Here's the bottom line. This team, Jake, I say this with confidence. This team can win a national championship. They're going to have to get better. But this team can win the national championship. I firmly believe that. They're going to have to get better in some spots. They're going to have to improve on some things. The frustration out of people is this Alabama game. This Alabama game is this game. It's hard to believe that a team has won 9 out of the last 10 against Georgia, and they have. And I had a million texts today, and had a million people asking me, what's the deal? And I don't have the answer. I don't have the answer. They just have your number right now. Florida had Georgia's number in the 90s, almost the entire time. Tennessee had about a 9-10 year run on Georgia too there for a long time until they beat them. You know, you've got to win one of these. And we have won that national championship. That was a massive game, massive win. But I think the fact of this is the thing that's on Kirby's resume, and he knows that. And you just, that is what it is. You got to win one to stop it. And I think the way these games have ended, every one of them have been wild, have been crazy. Georgia's been on the losing side of these games like this. And like last night, you come back, take the lead on a what would have been the biggest comeback in the history of Georgia, which is another thing. It's insane. So I just think this Alabama series, this Alabama game, for whatever reason right now, they have Georgia's number. And I said it last week. I said it again last night. I think these two teams are going to play again at some point this year. We'll see what happens. But, you know, Georgia needs to win one of those. And I think there's a ton of frustration with the Georgia fan base on this game. But if you take Alabama out of this thing, I mean, Georgia has absolutely owned. They have owned just about everybody else. I mean, they've owned them. And you kind of look at this, they're going to play Auburn this week. And that's a team they have done really good against. They're going to play Mississippi State, who is way down. And then they're going to Austin. They're going to Texas. And that's going to be another massive deal for Georgia. Georgia could wind up going to number one and number two in the next month. Basically, they're going to go to, they went to Alabama and Texas. One of those two is going to be one and two. So we'll see how it unfolds there, which is crazy, but it's big boy world. It's SEC football. And that's the games put out in front of them this year.
That's absolutely it. And listen, a return to Sanford Stadium might cure what ails Georgia. They've only been there one time in four games to start the season.
Crazy.
Meanwhile, the team that's coming to Sanford Stadium has played five straight games at their home field. Mm-hmm. And that's Auburn. Listen, GameTime.co, they specialize in last-minute ticket deals, and they are the best. It's a GameTime smooth app. It's very easy to work with. Promo code DOGS gets you 10% off. Gets you $20 off of your first order, terms apply, over at GameTime.co. Looking at some tickets right here, Rusty. I'm trying to find the best deal. They got one right here, $263 right here on 330. I don't know if that's a great deal or not, man.
Well,
be on the 50-yard line on the other side.
Yeah.
$257.
I imagine it'll come down a little bit too this week as it gets closer. There's going to be a lot of Auburn fans there, but I don't particularly think there's going to be a ton of that, what that normal Auburn type crowd you see. They have really struggled.
Oof, man, Auburn dropped a one that I thought they had in the bag this coming Saturday. But listen, you guys need to go on over to Game Time. We love them. I've bought tickets from them. It's a super easy process. And use that promo code DOGS to get $20 off your first order. Terms apply. Get some tickets to that Georgia-Auburn game this weekend. Deep South's oldest rivalry. I want to say the 130th time these two teams are going to play. They have played a lot, and Georgia's really taking control of that rivalry, another team that Georgia's owned. It's been 2005 since Auburn has beaten Georgia at home. And that was that blown coverage late in the game. Trey Battle was down, and Georgia fought back in that game too. They trailed in that one, came back and found a way to get it back ahead, and then ended up losing it as well. So, Rusty, some second thoughts on this game. I just kind of wanted to kind of do a catch-all here, and kind of, all right, let's kind of look back at what gave Georgia trouble or what still concerns you about this team. Second thoughts on the Georgia-Alabama game, and kind of, I don't know, maybe put it to bed for our larger audience here.
Start, man, offensively. You know, I'll say this about defense. You can't give up 28. Can't give up four touchdowns. You can't do it. You flip the pace. You go to the offensive side of the ball. They got to figure out what's going on there, why they didn't, why they haven't been starting, you know, fast some of these games. And kind of where they are and what can they do different. And I think like you take a team like Auburn, I don't know what spread is. We're going to be 21, 22, 23, something like that. It's like Kirby said, I think on one of his shows or an interview, he said, if you don't start fast at Kentucky, we're going to have a game on our hands. Like we're going to have a four quarter war on our hands. And that's what happened. You know, a game like this, you can start fast and jump on Auburn. And I'm not sure how much Auburn has left in the tank, to be honest with you. I mean, it's kind of a mess there right now. But if you mess around and you do this, you had to go 3.5 quarters with Auburn last year, you know, over there. So you want to look for the fast start, man. I don't know. get back with some easier throws. I don't know. You know, yesterday you're so out of routine because every time you got the ball, you were down 7 more points. And that's where, you know, you kind of got thrown off yesterday a little bit. But I think for the second last kind of comment there you want to see is defensively tackle better, because this is going to be this week you're going to see a running quarterback, a little not the athlete that Milroe was, but Peyton Thorne's going to run a little bit more. They run that run scheme, you know, Hugh Freeze deal. They're also, you know, they've been turning it over, and they'll give you chances to get the ball. So that's another thing. You want some takeaways. But the main thing, man, is coming home to Sanford Stadium. You got 2 weeks in a row. It's going to be a huge recruiting list both weeks, the 3:30 game. It's an SEC game, but coming home, you know, you're going to have a crowd behind you. You know, this is a big game, a big step forward. You can really kind of put your foot down, and I don't want to say put your foot on somebody's throat, but you can really get into somebody this weekend and do what you kind of – Georgia kind of – that Kentucky game last year was the one. I felt like it kind of got them going. Kentucky came in there. Was Kentucky undefeated last year when they came in Athens? I think they were. It came in, and Georgia they got into Kentucky and just hammered them at home. And that kind of propelled them all the way through the season because they were struggling a little bit. They played Kentucky, and once they lit into Kentucky, they rolled until the SEC championship. So kind of want to see one of those types of games. Let's bounce back, and let's put it all together on both sides of the football because they've got some pieces. And I think they found some things last night, Jake. I really do. Said it last night, said it today. I think they found some things in the passing game last night that they can work with. Lawson Lucky, number 7, is going to be playing. I'm not saying he's going to start, but I can tell you right now, number 7 is going to be a big piece of this offensive puzzle moving forward.
And, Rusty, it's kind of weird because that was October the 7th last year, and we're going to play this game on Saturday on, like, I think, October the 6th.
Yep.
So,
yep.
You know, or October 5th or whatever it is. That's just kind of odd. It shouldn't be that way, though. You know what I mean?
No, I get
where Georgia fans are coming from. Like, I understand where the frustration is. I get a little hung up sometimes on how they get hung up. Like, they just kind of want to say the same thing over and over. I get it. Like, it's frustrating. This offense went through this last year. You thought that was first-year quarterback problems.
Mm-hmm.
This is not first-year quarterback stuff going on. Now, are we still dealing with a quarterback who may be trying to develop some trust in his weapons or trust into some trust in the offensive line? Like, I don't know. Like, all of that stuff is the stuff we don't really know about at this point. But what we do know is it was right around this time last year that things started to come together. Georgia's able to kind of get it right. And listen, Georgia has been – they've been challenged this year in a way, just in terms of the competition, that they weren't challenged to this point last year either. I mean, that, you know.
Oh, yeah,
no doubt. We found out yesterday Kentucky's a pretty good football team. Okay. Like, I'm not trying to say they're world beaters or they're amazing or Georgia went and played well and just got buckled up by a great team, but Kentucky's pretty good. Alabama's pretty damn good. Clemson has been really good since Georgia beat them. So, I mean, can we take for a second just kind of like the fact that Georgia's had some tests that's had to pass right here, and none of them are easy.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Find out where Clemson does, what they do. They got a chance to win the ACC. Kentucky goes on the road, has the biggest win, I think, since 1977. And, you know, I went back.
Kentucky find themselves back into the rankings, by the way. Is that where they're – are they back in there now?
I'm looking right now.
I don't know if they got back in the AP poll today. I feel like you beat number – what was it, 5, 4?
Yeah, on the road, yeah.
Well, they should get you back in, but who knows, or get you in.
I went back and looked at 2007, Jake. The year that
they're Georgia, well out, actually. They're 6 others receiving votes. They're a little bit further back. So, no, Kentucky not close yet.
I went back and looked at 2007. I think everybody, I don't care who you are, I think everybody would agree at the end of the year, Georgia was the best team in football on paper. It's a shame they didn't have the playoffs. But with that being said,
play for it for sure.
With that being said, Georgia was 4-2, and their second loss was on this coming weekend. They lost to Tennessee. They lost 35-14. They lost 3 touchdowns. And they kind of found some stuff the next week and got on a roll. And by the end of the year, they were the best team. They were the best team, but they were 4-2 and got beat by 3 touchdowns. They lost to South Carolina. They lost to Tennessee and got ran out of the building, man. Kind of turned that thing around. So I've seen teams get hot and find some things. This is still early in the year. This is a big game for me, not because Georgia is such a favorite. See how they react. Can they put a complete game together? That's what you want to see this weekend. Go out there and handle business and put a complete game together and put away a team that you should beat in Auburn. See how that goes. That's what I'm looking for this weekend because I'll tell you that the recruiting list is going to be there. The atmosphere is going to be there. You're finally back in Sanford State. Georgia fans have waited to get back in there. You got 2 back-to-back home games. So, you know, it's really this team needs to have a good performance. And I think it's going to be a big game to see if they can put everything together this weekend.
And I think that's fair. Like, I think that's totally fair, man. Like, yeah. I think folks get a little bit bent out of shape when we're kind of talking about kind of where you go next and, you know, we're kind of highlighting the positives. Like, I think are we kind of in the same boat as some fans are in terms of are the questions on this team and the frustrations? Absolutely. Like, I mean, I'm sitting here through 4 games and I'm like, got another slow start on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just going to be October before we get the offense really going again, you know, here. I mean, I'm looking at all that and I'm seeing it and I'm with you on it. Like, I don't think there's a fan out there that's got an opinion as far as like being, you know, frustrated that I don't completely understand. But I think what we've got to get at here is the fact that there is reason to think this team's getting better. This team is, I mean, look, Rusty, I went back and I watched the offensive line, and it's going to get lost in the fact that Georgia lost the game and Alabama jumped all over them. Georgia's offensive line played really well. Like, they definitely didn't dominate Alabama. I don't think anybody expected them to. Mm-hmm. But Georgia did a really nice job. Even early on, they gave up some pressures. Alabama sent more than they could block a couple of times. But they did a good job of cleaning up all of those big-time mistakes that they made against Tennessee. I'm sorry, not against Tennessee, against Kentucky.
Kentucky, yeah.
And they cleaned those up. And late in that game, coming down the stretch, I'm talking about probably, 30 pass attempts in the second half, 28, close to 30 pass attempts. Man, they gave Beck time. I mean, Alabama was able to get after him, flush him out of the pocket. One of those sacks is 100% on Beck for not throwing the ball away and for, you know, giving up a fumble there. Another one, you know, was an intentional grounding where they blitzed. But they didn't get a lot of pressure on Georgia. They didn't get a lot of tackles for a loss against Georgia. The Bulldog offensive line did a good job. That was a step forward in that area. Carson Beck, as bad as he was with the turnovers, threw Georgia back into that football game. And again, you know, you look, and I get it. I know folks think that they're positive, they're pumping sunshine. No, we just – God, guys, they've won 49 out of 52 games, and
it's Alabama, man.
There's a lot of good football teams. They've lost to one team in 3 years, and I don't think it's just pie in the sky to say, hey, man, Kirby's done a good job of getting this team better. I remember seeing in the first half tweets and messages and things that were not messages but posts. Hey, Kirby's kind of, you know, this thing's kind of getting away from Kirby here at Georgia, and you know, he doesn't even look interested. By God, he looked interested at the end of the third quarter in the early fourth quarter. And everybody else got interested too. I think we need to just slow down. We're all looking for finality here, Rusty. Hey. I think we might just need to let it just enjoy it where it's at.
Gotta beat Alabama. That is the they gotta find a way to beat. They gotta beat this team. I'm telling you, man. There's so much make a
Georgia fan go crazier than they are right now with this Alabama thing is getting beat by Georgia Tech. Like, yeah, you were talking about things getting squirrely and so was, dude, you start hearing stuff out of the building over there. It's like, hey, man, Brian Gantz bought a Crown Vic and you know, I mean, you just start hearing just crazy stuff, ghost stories.
Well, this is the game, you know, and I got to ask on every interview I did last week, I got asked on Fox 5, who was more pressure on, Kirby Smart or Kellen DeBoer in this game? And I said Kirby Smart. He needs to get this Alabama game in a trend, and he needs another win, needs something else in this series didn't get it last night. This, for whatever reason, this Alabama series, this Alabama game, and all Alabama, other than that national championship game. And, you know, this is the one that they got to figure it out somehow. If they play them again, you're going to have another chance. But you got to take care of some business and get back to them at some point. You got a lot of football left in them. And it starts this week. You know, you got to have a good performance, I think. You got to have one of those. You got to have one of those. Jake, we got to come back on here next Sunday night and go, where the hell has that been? You know what I mean? Like that's what you expect Georgia to look like right there on both sides of the ball. They hadn't put a complete game together, still beat some really good teams. And I think Clemson's going to wind up making the playoff. I really do. I think Clemson's going to be the playoff team of the ACC. You know, so you take that game and what they did there, especially in the second half on that one after a slow start, but really clamped it down. So a lot of football left, but you got to worry about one at a time before you get to all these other pieces of the puzzle. And it starts this week. Need to have a complete game, I think, on both sides of the ball.
Hey, man, the way I look at it is Georgia offense is like me when I was a teenager. My dad would give me a job, head out to work, and I'd sleep till noon, and I'd get up at noon and try to do 8 hours worth of work in 4 hours. And that's what Georgia's trying to do right now offensively. Ooh. And they've got to figure out – they got to get up early, and they got to get started early offensively. And I think if they do I really do believe that's the key to the season. And it was, as you pointed out, it shouldn't be, but it was October before they got it worked out last season. Mm-hmm. And we'll see if Georgia can kind of get that worked out now, because they actually have maybe a little bit of a get-right game here, one that's not on the road, one that's not against a team that's going to, you know, kind of be one of the best teams in the country or come up with some of the best wins in the country. So, you know, Georgia's definitely got some opportunities here, and we want to see them take advantage of them. We'd also like to see you take advantage of an opportunity to join our man Andy Ludicky over at MyPerfectFranchise.net. Are you a displaced corporate executive, or are you a businessman? Are you an entrepreneur? You got an entrepreneurial spirit, and you're ready to kind of strike out on your own and do your own thing. Well, you need to get my man Andy Ludicky over at MyPerfectFranchise.com. .net, Yale. I mean, you know, listen, this guy knows exactly what he's doing. All right. He has already helped multiple Georgia Bulldog fans, multiple people who have reached out from our site, find their success story. And you can find your success story too. Andy's been with us for months. And you know, he's been great to us, and he understands all sorts of businesses across all sorts of franchises. And he's your guy. Go over to MyPerfectFranchise.net, put your life and career in your own hands. And best of all, those services are free to you. Check out my man Andy Ludicky. He's good to us. We want to be good to him. Rusty, Georgia's going to be being good to a lot of recruits and a lot of recruit parents this weekend. I know that. They're going to have the hospitality because they've got it saved up. Mm-hmm. Had a big weekend for the Tennessee Tech game.
This will be a real list. So, you look at those games. Look at a game like this, back to back, and this will be a real list. We'll have it covered all week. This will be one of those need those Jimmies and Joes on campus this weekend. I will say this. You know, obviously a lot of talk about players. If you have not watched Talon Taylor, Georgia's wide receiver commit from Geneva, Illinois. Go watch that dude, man. That is, you know, I'm not saying it's Ryan Williams because it's just very hard to have that type of impact. But this kid is going to end up. This kid is, he's right there, almost a five star for own three. He's almost a five star in the industry. Before it's over, he's going to be a five star. I mean, I'm just telling you, I've done this long enough to know that kid's going to be a five star wide receiver. He is all in on Georgia. Ohio State has done every possible thing they can possibly do to get him on campus, to give them another chance. And he's basically said, look, I'm coming to Georgia, man. I love it there. That's where I'm going. And so, you know, you want to make yourself smile, go watch Talon Taylor. Go watch his video from the other night. Three touchdowns in that game. He has been on a roll. He is special. And I'm telling you, man, Georgia's got to have some dudes, got to keep getting guys. But you want to get a smile tonight, go watch Talon Taylor, Georgia's wide receiver commit from Illinois, big time. This kid can freaking roll.
Yeah, and, you know, there's some software out there for those who don't follow this where you can kind of take high-definition film and you can apply GPS numbers to it, and it can kind of measure how fast. I'm sure it's not exactly correct.
Yeah.
But same system, two years, back-to-back years, Talon Taylor went from a high of 18.9 miles per hour on the GPS last year to 21.8 miles per hour this year. So he's gone up like 3 miles per hour in a year. He's gotten a lot faster. He's also plays on a really good team there at Geneva. They've got about 3 wideouts. One of them, I brought him up, Bennett Compton. Is a really good player. He's like a 10, he's like 11 second guy as a freshman last year in the 100 meters. So he might be a guy to look out for. But they got like 3 or 4 different receivers and a really good quarterback there.
Use that NFHS membership there. Yeah, you're watching all kind of games.
The Vikings, baby. I know what they got going on. I tried to, you know, the first two games, the camera was down. It was a school issue. And I really only had a chance to watch one game, but I've been checking out the huddle stuff, and I've been kind of, reading some stuff up on Twitter, and you know, some of the I think some of it's probably AI written articles, if we're being honest.
Oh yeah,
Reading some of that stuff and just kind of seeing how the games are going. But I've been keeping my eye on him just because I loved his movement skills last year. I liked him as a prospect, and I wanted to kind of see, all right, well, you know, where is he at now? And he looks bigger, he looks stronger, and he looks faster. And I don't know, man. I think there's something to looking at that trend. Does a guy get better from year to year in high school? Does he rest on his laurels and kind of regress or not get a whole lot better? I think coaching staffs are looking at that too.
Who loves recruiting more than football? That is a question that I hear a lot. Does a kid love recruiting more than less football? Because if he loves recruiting more than football, then Georgia's not the place for you. It's just not.
So, I know what your answer is going to be right here, but I'm going to ask you anyway. One guy Georgia needs to get on campus for this game.
Needs to get on campus this game or needs to get on campus this fall. And I think there's still a lot of communication there with C.J. Wiley, the Florida State wide receiver commit at Milton. I'm in on him. I've seen him. I think that it won't surprise me in the next 2 weeks if Justice Terry and Elijah Griffin are both on campus at some point. I know Elijah Griffin will be there. He's taking his OV Mississippi State weekend.
That's right.
And far as I know, I think he could be close to the decision around then. So that's the number one defensive lineman in America. I still like Georgia for him right now out of Savannah Christian. And then you look at Justice Terry, a young man who's been banged up a little bit. I think he's close to being back for Manchester. He's the other 5-star defensive lineman, kind of an Alabama-Georgia battle there with him. So we'll see how those go out. But for me, man, you know, you look at Talon Taylor. I've got some recruiting notes coming up on Dogs HQ tomorrow, a few things. But and I'll say one more note, and we'll end recruiting. Landon Rowland, kid out of North Oconee, is committed to Georgia. I've personally worked him out and didn't know who he was. Honest to God, didn't. Not going to be one of those stories where I try to tell you in 10th grade the kid was good. Just every time I see highlights and every time Jeremy Johnson goes to watch him and every time I see things, this kid's a 4-4, man. I mean, this kid is legit 4-4. He can freaking roll. And, kind of a late bloomer, went and tested for Georgia, earned his offer. And, that's another guy that you want to go watch a couple of skilled players, a couple of guys coming to town. Somebody said something about quarterbacks. I don't know what comment. There was a comment a while ago. Georgia's got the number one quarterback in America in the 26th class verbally committed. And I went to see him throw, and my goodness, that what's coming off of his shoulders, I don't know that I've seen anything like that in a long, long time. So they got some guys in the pipeline. You know, you beat Ohio State in a head-to-head battle for Ryan Pugliese last year. You bring in Jaden Rashada. Their quarterback room's pretty deep, and we'll see how this thing plays out after this season. A lot of ifs and buts. Honestly, Gunnar Stockton's going to be in there. So there's a lot of things that's going to play out in that quarterback room. But right now, this is definitely Carson Beck's team, and see where he goes, kind of see where he is next week and what we're talking about next week. Because, Jake, if we're talking about another slow start next week against Auburn, then we got some real questions that need to be answered and discussed. But we'll see if they can put a complete game together and do what they should do against a team like Auburn. Is down pretty good bit right now. This will be their first road game of the year, like you said. So we'll see. 3:30, Sanford Stadium. That place is going to be rocking, I'm sure of that.
Absolutely. Russ, let's get this one question here. Usmani Kroma deciding same weekend, Georgia-Auburn. Right now, it is scheduled for this weekend. What's a little bit of that buzz kind of going into this week?
I still think Georgia's in a good spot, man. You know, and that's been one of those ones that's been all over the place. You know, if it was Florida State at one time, Tennessee kind of tried to get their foot in the door. Auburn definitely was in on him. Auburn, listen, if he didn't go to Auburn, it wasn't because they didn't try. I can assure you that. If there's Auburn fans listening and you don't get him, they went after this young man. And if he ends up at Georgia, it's because he really wants to be there. Josh Crawford has some connections there, the new running back coach at Georgia, obviously with Lee County. So, you know, I'm not ready to 100% say it. I think it's Georgia right now, but Sunday night going into this decision, I'm leaning Georgia. You know, this is a 205, 210-pound back, man, that, I mean, since he's been a freshman, he has just absolutely tore up that Southwest Georgia area. They beat Thomas County Central, broke their, like, 20-something game winning streak yesterday in a huge matchup. So, you look at this young man. I watched him play Houston County last year. He had, like, 250 yards rushing. Didn't even know if he can play that. Now, he limped around in pregame. Dude threw up, like, 250 in that game. I was there. It was crazy.
Big-time player, and interesting to see the way that one goes as the week goes along. You know, we talked to Cole Pinkston from our Auburn side over on Rusin Row on the radio today, and Cole was thinking, hey, man, if Georgia really wants him, I think Georgia's going to have a good shot to get him. But coming into the week, maybe he felt like Auburn may have a slight edge. We'll see how that one unfolds this week because it does look like Georgia and Auburn are those last two, and they're also fighting for to get the latest one in the Deep South's oldest rivalry. I haven't seen a line yet, but I assume Georgia's going to be heavily favored. Yeah. Auburn has really struggled in Athens in the last few years, since 2005, really. I mean, they've lost the ones they should have won and the ones they should lose. Some of these has happened too, but they've just gotten blown out in the other ones, yeah. And Georgia's won a lot of big games. All right, folks, we got more for you. We got Dogs HQ Plus coming up tomorrow night. Cannot wait to get into that. I really don't know what we're going to do. I don't know if we're going to unload and try to fire some people or if we're going to watch some film. We hadn't decided yet. We haven't figured that out yet, but we'll also be back with you for another episode of the Georgia Show later on this week, where we'll do a little bit more preview of Georgia and Auburn. But for this one, that's all we got. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Rusty Mansell. Y'all take it easy.